The verdict in the Trump civil fraud case is just in. Here's correspondent Robert Costa.
This penalty is sweeping in scope. Former President Donald Trump and his co-defendants in this case ordered today by Judge Arthur Engoron to pay out more than $300 million in damages because he believes that the Trump Organization, led by former President Trump for many years, defrauded the state of New York.
There are other bans.
We're also seeing former President Donald Trump being barred from being a director or leader of any corporation in the state of New York for the next 3 years.
His sons are banned for 2 years, and Trump businesses cannot apply for loans from any New York institutions for 3 years. Trump was accused of greatly inflating the value of his properties to get favorable terms for bank loans. Since day one, he's called the case against him politically motivated, but without any evidence of that. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is cracking down on sex trafficking. The state assembly yesterday passed a package of bills that came out of the speaker's task force on the issue, Democratic Representative Jill Billings.
Kids who are human trafficked are victims. They're not criminals, and we should not be charging them with the crime of prostitution.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling about 60 products made with contaminated milk. A nationwide outbreak of listeria is linked to cheese, yogurt, and sour cream made by Rizzo Lopez Foods and sold under a dozen different brand names. 2 people are dead and 24 people are in the hospital across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 10th Southwood County Empty Bowls event happens tomorrow, Saturday, February 17th, from 11 to 2. It will be at Focus's new location, 2321 West Grand Avenue. You'll find a great selection of soups from 11 local restaurants. For a $10 donation, you'll receive a meal of soup, bread, beverage, and a cookie. The handmade bowl is yours to keep. You can take part in basket raffles and enjoy visiting with neighbors. Proceeds will help food insecurities in our area. The USDA Food and Drug Administration warns whether you're settling into your 60s or heading into your 90s, be careful when taking medications, herbal preparations, and supplements. As we age, physical changes can affect the way our body handles medications and how medications work in our bodies, which can lead to potential complications. Even if your medications have worked well for you over the years, they may need to be adjusted or changed later in life. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
If you're an employer looking to hire, here's some great news. ZipRecruiter lets you post jobs for free before you commit. Head over to ZipRecruiter.com/Bob to try it out. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B-O-B. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Brewers spring training underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened up spring training with about a dozen pitchers working out with catchers. A lot of new faces, but one to keep an eye on is Jacob Mizorowski out of Missouri. They call him the Miz. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. Mizorowski pitched last summer for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers before being called up by Carolina. He turns 22 in April. NBA. Despite numerous injuries and missing 3 starters, the Memphis Grizzlies sent the Bucks into the All-Star break with a 113-110 loss. Giannis had 35 points, but after the game, Doc Rivers said the Bucks' fundamentals are just off on defense.
We're playing decent defense until 5 seconds on the clock, and the guy with the ball puts the ball on the floor and drives it. Straight line. Our body positions were terrible. If a guy's quicker than you or you're quicker than him, if you're not square on the ball, you're going to get beat in this league. We got to be able to guard the ball. We got to be able to keep the ball under control.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, and it will be a bit cooler than yesterday. Our high right around 26 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down to around 7 above for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 30 on Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome everyone to Midday Magazine. Have your host James J. Mailoff here, and welcoming into the studio our great friend Sally Kistner, Executive Director over at the Arts Council. Sally, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. Sally, you and I get together quite a bit, at least once a month, and we always take time highlighting the upcoming show with the Arts Council. We have a lot of fun doing that. You do an amazing job bringing on a guest with us, usually from the ACT, and we appreciate that so much and all you do for our community with the arts. But we don't ever get a chance, really, it seems like, to really just sit back and talk about the Arts Council and talk about the great work that you guys do. So, for one, I want to thank you for being in, and I really want to send a big thank you to Meredith and our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau giving the time to the Arts Council today.
Absolutely.
So, big shout out to them and the great work they do. Sally, before we get into the history of the Arts Council, how did you get involved with the Arts Council?
Well, I had heard about the opening for an executive director at some point, and I knew the president of the board at that time, just asked a few questions about it. I've always been interested in the performing arts. My daughter was involved in performing arts, still is. She's a choreographer. She's a great singer. But I found it very interesting, and I just threw my hat in the ring and got lucky.
It's interesting to hear you always had a love of the arts. And it kind of, it feels like in talking to you over the years and stuff that this job is something you were kind of building up towards whether you knew it or not.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
And looking back, I can see a lot of things that I did in my work life that really pointed toward this, and I'm using a lot of those skills now, so it's cool.
The universe always puts us where we need to be.
Exactly.
You know, it always does. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
You bet.
How about the history of the Arts Council in Southwood County?
So it was incorporated on January 23rd, 1976 as a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to educational purposes. The first name was actually Community Arts Council of Southwood County, Inc. And we've since dropped that to just Arts Council of Southwood County. They've had several physical office locations starting out in the lower level of McMillan Library and then moving to the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center when it was over on Johnson Street. And then in 2009, we moved to our current location in the North Central Real Estate Office Building on 8th Street South.
And been going strong ever since.
Yes.
You touched on this a little. Oh, did you have more history? I'm sorry.
Just a little bit. The performance locations have changed also. We started at McMillan Library, then moved to East Junior High when it had a stage.
That's right.
Then West Junior High, which is now Rams. And since 2000, we've been in the beautiful Performing Arts Center.
A great facility. Love that building. There are two stages in this state that I want to perform on. It's the Rams one, and it's that Performing Arts Center. I love that place. The acoustics in that building are so beautiful.
Yeah.
You've touched on this a little bit, Sally. Can we get into depth about what the Arts Council mission is?
Sure. The mission is really to promote enjoyment and appreciation of a variety of performing art forms among area residents of all ages. Connected with that, we also provide and fund artist in education programs that allows professional artists to enrich the lives of area students through performances, workshops, and master classes. So basically, we offer these classes when we bring groups in. We offer them to homeschool students as well as students in Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Assumption Catholic Schools, Pacelli, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Pittsville, Amherst, and Adams Friendship. And we've even reached out to D.C. Everest. Last year, they brought a group in, too.
Awesome. Very cool. You know, it is great to be able to bring these acts into town, the economy that it brings, adults having something to do, especially in our winter months when there's not as much and everything, and all those things none of us take lightly. But that mission statement is so important and so vital to our community, to our youth. We don't blink an eye at sports and the idea of putting into youth sports. And I applaud that. I agree with that. There's so much, you know, 1-2% of kids are going to make it and go on and do professional sports, but the life lessons you can learn from sports are lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's no different than entertainment and arts. Arts give these same exact things. They give opportunities for children to build confidence, to learn more of their skill set, to understand maybe spark something in them, and they want to take it and run with it, whatever that might mean. About the same percentage of kids that are in shows or learn about these shows or attend these workshops may turn into entertainers.
Right.
But the life lessons they learn, they can apply to whatever field they go into, whatever they do. Tell me there's a field out there that a kid couldn't be more confident or couldn't be more benefited from some confidence or more people skills or communication skills or anything. That's the arts. That's what they give. And having these workshops where it's not just, you know, not to make light of any of our teachers or anything. They all are very good at what they do, and we appreciate that work. But to have a Larry Gatlin, like, talking to you about something or something like that, it means, adds a little more weight to it.
Right. And funny you should mention that, but this season, with the Larry Gatlin Songwriting Workshop, we actually had a student who was so greatly impacted. His teacher came to me and said that he said this was one of the best days of his life. He has had some things happen to him in the past, and he's poured himself into writing music. Mm. And at the end of the workshop, Larry Gatlin spent like 20 minutes with this kid. It touches my heart to know that our workshops are having this kind of an impact, even on one student. Yeah. And I'm sure there are more we don't hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That is really, really cool. How about the structure of the Arts Council? Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are a nonprofit with one paid employee. That's me. I'm the lucky one. And I report to a board of directors, which is comprised of 9 to 12 members at any given time. They serve 3-year rotating terms, and there are officer positions of president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary, as most boards are set up. Mm-hmm. We also have some volunteers who do ticket sales and work sometimes the night of the show, maybe at the will call table or handing out programs if we're shorthanded. We hold monthly meetings to handle all of our business transactions, and fortunately we also communicate via email with important things that come up in between. Our fiscal year runs July through June.
Thank you for that. Sometimes I think with especially an organization like this or something that's been around for a while, there's going to be new people in town or people that may not know all that information. And I think it's very impactful for businesses out there that we want to advertise with us and work with the Arts Council and everything.
Exactly.
That understanding that structure goes a long way, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of those sources, what about revenue sources? How does that work for you guys?
So our number one source of revenue is ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So we love to see a packed house.
Yeah.
It's actually about 70% of our revenue. The rest comes from donations, advertising for our programs, and show sponsorships. We also have some in-kind partnerships as far as sponsorships go. For example, WFHR.
Yeah.
They sponsor shows and in turn give us free advertising for that particular show. We've done some very creative things as well, where we'll have a business purchase a season ticket, for example, or a pair of season tickets, and then give those away. And so that's a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Donations are very critical as well. And we have some wonderful donors who every single year donate to us, and we absolutely appreciate that. Grants are important. That's a source of revenue, and especially was important during COVID. It kept us in business, basically. Yeah.
When it comes to that, those revenue sources and everything, you mentioned some creative things that you guys have done. We always want to encourage any new business that wants to work with the Arts Council, always open to those things and open to ideas and you know what you're thinking and how we can work together and everything. As it's so, I'm saying we. I don't work at the Arts Council, but that's how much I care about what that you guys do over there. Yeah. So I don't mean to keep saying we. Maybe
the community kind of owns us, I feel.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
We do a service for them. Mm-hmm. So
I encourage people to look into other resources and other ways that you can impact things with the Arts Council. And as Sally told you right there, those ticket sales are everything. They're so vital. Spreading the word about these events and these shows, it goes so much farther than we could really put into words. You could bring any act into town, and you just don't know how the ticket sales are going to go for that set act.
Exactly.
So we can guarantee certain things. That, you know, we can't guarantee that, but we can guarantee certain things. And as far as grants or, you know, donations and that, that goes a lot farther than we'll ever be able to word. So greatly appreciate this community supporting the arts like they do.
Right.
As far as support efforts go, let's dive into that a little bit, Sally. We're touching on it already, kind of lean into it.
Yes, exactly. So I do an annual mailing to our individual donors who support us, and that's just an annual thing that they do. Mm-hmm. We are also going to be starting our business solicitation. We do that in the spring and summer. So that's when we start looking for sponsorships. By that time, we will have identified our whole season so that we can actually have someone choose a show they'd like to sponsor. Mm. And there are various levels of sponsorship, anywhere from $500 to $4,000 and up. And as I mentioned, we're also looking for different ways to work together. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a monetary sponsorship. We also have advertising. Our programs, we have a beautiful color program, and then we have a black and white insert that we change. So if someone wants to change up their ad, if they're in retail sales and they want to make it a little bit different, we have a couple of businesses who do that. Every single show, they change it up a little bit, and they have that option. So that's pretty much our support efforts.
When it comes to the way that the Arts Council supports the businesses that advertise with them, I think it's noteworthy as well, because you're attaching your name not just to the Arts Council, but to the acts that are performing there. So Uptown, you know, has a great show last night and kills it, does an amazing job.
Yep.
I swear I could hear them from the other side of town. They were sounding so good.
They were awesome.
And a great turnout and all that. Well, if we're WFHR, we're advertising with you guys. We're not just being sold along with the Arts Council. We're being sold along with Uptown. We're being sold with that. You know, you're attaching your name to something like that, which brings more eyeballs, which is what every advertiser, every business is looking for. So the opportunity, how many other opportunities you have in Wood County to be able to do something like that?
Right.
Like, that's a pretty darn good opportunity. If I'm a business, I'm jumping on that. I want to be a part of something like that.
Yep. In addition to being mentioned several times in the program and getting an ad as part of your sponsorship in the program, we mention them whenever we can. Mm-hmm. We've got the business names on posters. We mention them as an intro before the show starts. It's all over the place.
Yeah. When, as we mentioned before, we have a relationship, WFHR and the Arts Council. Mm-hmm. When we talk about these shows, we talk about the sponsors. So you're getting heard on the radio as well. There's so many avenues here. And just word of mouth, you're handing out these pamphlets, and I see, the WFHR is on the pamphlets. And
right.
That. And so showing the community support as well, the PR of this is unparalleled. Like, any business worth their salt nowadays understands it's not just my business, it's who I'm attaching myself to. It's who I'm supporting. Nike and McDonald's don't need money, but you see them sponsoring things all the time because it matters. People in our conscious, whether it's subconscious or not, it matters. Oh, I see this business is putting back into our community. Right. This business cares about the arts. That stuff goes a lot farther than we can put into words.
You bet.
When it comes to the community involvement and how we can be more involved, we've kind of touched on this a little bit too. But are there other ways we can be involved with the Arts Council?
Well,
or vice versa.
Sure. We're trying to get visibility a little bit more to get the word out there, because you would be amazed at the number of people who are like, you know, Arts Council, what's that? I've never heard of them. And we've been around since 1976. So we're doing some new things. We've just started in the past year. We did Cranberry Blossom Fest Parade that we're also going to do this year again. At a Rafters game, we did a 50-50 raffle last year, and we're scheduled for the end of June again this year. We did the Christmas tree walk at the museum, and we're going to do that again just to get the word out there. But then we also like to do things for the community. For example, the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund. We are going to donate to that through our Always Olivia performance.
That's beautiful.
Next month. We're collaborating with Mid-State Tech on with their culinary arts program. We scheduled a reception that their students are going to be providing the appetizers for before the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis tribute.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a good idea.
And we have a couple of restaurants that we are helping promote by doing dinners beforehand. We had the last one last night. So we'll probably continue doing things like this to just kind of get a little more community involvement going on.
We're stronger together. You know, we realize that in this community really well. Rapids really gets that. And and when, you know, you've got a nonprofit in an organization that could just look season opening, like, hey, we could do something with this team, or we could do something with this restaurant or this organization or something. And seeing that those two working together, or these organizations were together, only benefits all of us. It makes us all stronger. It makes our economy stronger, all of the above. When it comes to the cost of bringing these acts in, I imagine that this varies from act to act and everything, but it's also something that you don't have to understand this industry to understand that this is probably one of the bigger, you know, budget things. Is as far as your budget goes, this is one of the biggest things out of the pie that goes to out of the budget goes to these things, the to these acts,
right? And people are surprised. New board members who come on board are amazed at what all is associated with a performance. I know the general public doesn't have a clue. So I'd just like to touch on that a little bit. The performance fee, obviously, is going to be probably the highest. But then we pay for security. That has become very important in the contracts. They demand security now. So we pay for security. Some of these costs aren't huge, but they add up.
Everything adds up,
We have PAC rental. We pay for the tech crews who work the shows. And when that doesn't work, you know, it can make or break a show. So we have janitorial crews that we pay for at the PAC. And then sometimes we have to get outside sound, lighting, and equipment rental. Fees can add up. We have ticketing system fees. We have credit card fees that we pay, though being a nonprofit, we get decent fees for that. So we are not at the point where we're going to charge those back to our patrons.
That's nice.
And of course, marketing expenses. Those can really add up. And then there's just your general administrative and general operating costs, you know, rent for our building, things like that. And they all break down and kind of get divided among the number of shows that we do. So we sort of calculate it that way and try and figure out when we're scheduling shows what kind of price to come up with for a ticket based on all this. And we've got a cool spreadsheet that somebody before me made, and we can just plug numbers in and kind of make adjustments as necessary.
And you know, if you are like myself, and you could, you know, I think that they're such affordable tickets. I've never seen a show in the years we've been talking. I've never seen a show that I looked at and I was like, well, that's a high price or anything like that. I've always it's always the opposite. I'm always like, wow, that is great that they can offer something like this for that price.
And yes, our goal is to break even. We are a nonprofit, so our goal is to break even. And sometimes some of the tickets we could be charging a lot more for, but we want to fill the house and we want to make it affordable. So we kind of make some adjustments for the whole season that way.
You've done a great job of giving us history, of breaking down the Arts Council, showing us how the Arts Council has our community's back and does things for our community. Let's show the Arts Council we have their back. Let's show them that we support them. Let's put into the Arts Council, put into the arts, in any of these different ways you can do that. And if you can't do any of some of these financial ways or anything, all of us can spread the word about these shows.
Absolutely.
And can always use volunteers, can always use people like that, people that care, like Sally did before she started working at the Arts Council, had a passion for this. Maybe you're somebody like that. We can always look, could always use good people.
Absolutely.
As we're wrapping up with our last couple of minutes here, Sally, I want to talk about the upcoming productions. And a shout out to Uptown. Great work the other night. Great work by them. Big thank you to them for coming to town and talking with us on the air. It was really good meeting those, meeting them, having them on the air with us.
Yep.
Got a really great show coming right up, Sally. My mom is dying to go see this.
We've actually got two in March,
so
it's going to be a very busy weekend. The first one is How Sweet It Is. Mm-hmm. It's Steve Leslie singing James Taylor. Mm. This guy is phenomenal. He looks and sounds just like James Taylor.
It's uncanny.
Yes.
It really is. Like I grew up in a James Taylor house, and I've heard a lot of Mr. Taylor over the years.
Yep.
I again, wasn't looking at the screen when I played him, and I'm like, whoa, like he's really good.
Right. Mm. He's also a Grammy Award-winning songwriter, and we're going to be doing a workshop with him with students that
awesome.
Day at 10 o'clock.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned this a little bit already. On March 10th, I have another great show coming
yes,
up.
Yes, Always Olivia. It's an Olivia Newton-John tribute. It's on a Sunday afternoon, so we're trying an afternoon show once, see how that goes. And as I mentioned, we're not only doing donations for the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund, but $3 from each ticket, adult ticket sale, is going to be donated there.
Annie Aiello, I believe is her name.
Yes.
I believe she's from there, if she's not from there, she performed in Chicago area a lot.
She is from the Chicago
area. She is
area.
From there.
Yep.
So I've heard her name before when she was doing kind of solo stuff.
Okay.
And she's got a pretty good name in that city. And
yes.
To take, I think it's pretty cool to, like, she could be doing her own thing, but this is how much Olivia meant to her and how much she cares, like about this. And all of that being said, we love Olivia Newton-John, love her and the memory of her. It's great the impact this can make on the research and raising awareness
exactly.
and stuff cannot be taken lightly. It's just as important as taking in a great show.
And she also donates a portion of her performance fee goes to the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Fund.
Now, that is something unique to this particular show, but don't lose sight of this, everybody. Every one of these shows make an impact in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these shows add to our economy, add to our youth, add to our just fun, just in general, just
yeah.
great and fun in this area and stuff. Like, not everybody's got something like this, and not everybody has a Sally Kistner caring so much about our community and adding to it like you do. I appreciate
you,
Sally.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your board and the team over there at the Arts Council, all the volunteers. We certainly send a shout out to Eric and the team at the PAC that join us too. We are so much better of a community for having you and having this team and these things in place. And you would certainly notice if you didn't have them. So let's appreciate what we have and let's make sure that we keep it around. Add to the Arts Council as much as you can in any of the ways that Sally and I have talked about today. You can find out more and get your tickets at savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. Be sure to get those tickets. Don't wait. You don't want to wait.
Don't wait.
No, get them right away. And I got more great shows coming up. Sally will join us to talk about some of those later next month, probably. Thanks for the time, Sally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Mm.
And a big thank you again to Meredith and our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit them and find out ways that you can put back into your community. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. Shout out to our Pam Hilke for doing an amazing job scheduling week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Albaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Earl
Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's top Republican says he won't push for a lawsuit over new legislative district maps if the governor signs them into law. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's getting too late for that.
We wanted to have these maps enacted now, so we have the ability to go out. I mean, there's a bunch of new districts. There's a bunch of lots of people who are going to have to be found to run for office, and that takes time.
Some Democrats speculate Republicans might sue in the hopes a judge would keep the current maps in place through this year's elections. Wisconsin is taking the first step toward enshrining limits on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state constitution. A proposed constitutional amendment passed the state assembly yesterday. The next step would have to be to pass the Senate this year, but the upper house is only in session a few more days. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An ATV-UTV petition will be considered for adoption at the Common Council meeting in Wisconsin Rapids next week. The petition, submitted by Madeline Palmquist, meets the requirements according to the city clerk. If adopted, it would allow ATV-UTV routes in the city of Wisconsin Rapids and regulate their operation. These vehicles would be allowed to use all city streets except State Highways 13, 54, and 73, though they would be allowed to cross them in compliance with the law. Some of the conditions and restrictions include ATV-UTVs would not be allowed in parks or on other public property except for parking in designated areas. They could not drive on city streets between the hours of 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Any drivers or passengers under the age of 18 would be required to wear protective headgear, and they would be required to carry insurance and registration. The Common Council meeting is February 20th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now.
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Brewers spring training underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened up spring training with about a dozen pitchers working out with catchers. A lot of new faces, but one to keep an eye on is Jacob Mizorowski out of Missouri. They call him the Miz. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. Mizorowski pitched last summer for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers before being called up by Carolina. He turns 22 in April. NBA. Despite numerous injuries and missing three starters, the Memphis Grizzlies sent the Bucks into the All-Star break with a 113-110 loss. Giannis had 35 points, but after the game, Doc Rivers said the Bucks' fundamentals are just off on defense.
We're playing decent defense until 5 seconds on the clock, and the guy with the ball puts the ball on the floor and drives it. Straight line. Our body positions were terrible. If a guy's quicker than you or you're quicker than him, if you're not square on the ball, you're going to get beat in this league. We got to be able to guard the ball. We got to be able to keep the ball under control.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, and it will be a bit cooler than yesterday. Our high right around 26 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down to around 7 above for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 30. On Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply today at 988lifelinecounselor.org. Family Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Paid for by grants from SAMHSA and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Lovell, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Tom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Tom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome everyone to Midday Magazine for this February 16th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And part two today, we are speaking with our good friend, Kelly Brochard, Executive Director of Child Caring. And Kelly, good to have you in studio.
Good morning. Thank you.
We appreciate you being here, especially we've been having trouble with our phones. So we were supposed to talk with Senator Patrick Testin today. We weren't able to because of our phone connections. We apologize to the audience. We're looking forward to talking with Senator Testin soon. So it's great to have you in studio. We can really make this happen. And even more importantly than that, Kelly, and even bigger than you and I or anybody else out there, child care in this state, child care in this country. It's one of the biggest topics we are facing going forward, not just in 2024, but period. Child care affects everything in society, and it all ties into it. It's an important topic, and I appreciate having somebody here who is not only incredibly passionate about this, but knows her stuff. We appreciate that out of you, Kelly. Thanks for being here, and thanks you for Child Caring, Inc. We appreciate the gang over there, your team that you have. Child Caring is offering free startup information sessions and grants for anybody interested in providing child care. Did you want to start there, Kelly, or did you have somewhere else you wanted to start?
Yeah, no, just a shout out to Senator Patrick Testin. We were able to, I was one of the many, many people that attended Central Wisconsin Days this week. And while I wasn't able to chat with him, I'm certain that some people in our group were. And child care obviously was one of those topics that greatly affects workforce and economic development. So
yeah, and in talking to Representatives Krug, Senator Testin, Katrina Shankland, they all get it. They hear from their constituents how important this is. Keep talking to them. Keep telling them these things. That's how they want to represent you. They want to represent our communities to the best of their abilities, and they can do that. The better they have, the more data they have, the better they can do that. The more people telling them how important this is, the more they're going to hear us.
Absolutely.
So about these grants that we're just discussing, the sessions and grants that are available for anyone interested in providing child care.
Yeah, so Child Caring has been really fortunate to be able to offer sessions that we invite people to participate in virtually. And our next one is coming up on Tuesday, March 5th from 12:30 to 2:30, which sometimes is a nice time for a mom who might have a napping child, or but the virtual option is really great during the day. Mm-hmm. And so during those sessions, we talk about why do we want to think about becoming a child care provider? What does it look like to become certified or licensed? What are the advantages for coming into this field? We talk about the process. We talk about all the great resources that are available to someone in starting a child care business. And then we talk about this great opportunity that we have through Department of Children and Families funding to offer startup grants to people. So we often know that there's an expense when you start up a business, and that's just like it would be for child care. And so, you know, there's funds that are available to help with, like, the cost of the regulation fees, mm-hmm. and the background checks that need to happen of the provider and anyone else in the household. Sometimes a provider might need to purchase a fire extinguisher, mm-hmm. or smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, safety gates, mm-hmm. cribs, places, mm-hmm. you know, for kids to sleep and things for children to play with. And mm-hmm. so we have funding available to help with all of those costs that are associated sometimes with the startup of a childcare business.
Hmm. You know, we've seen the data over the years, even going back to the pandemic and before the pandemic, of most people that want a small businesses or people that want to start up a small business, what usually holds them back is the startup cost or what it might cost to be able to get this off the ground and running. And then you look at this on the childcare end of things, and it involves just a couple of more layers to it and everything. So with something like this being available to people, you got to think just statistically alone that some of the people that might have done this now have a more incentive and more ability to be able to do it.
Yes, we think it's a great time to come into this field. You talked about the demand and the mm-hmm. the national crisis that we're facing. If you're a person that enjoys working with young kids and you want to be able to work from home, being a family child care provider is an excellent option for you.
To speak on that point, if I can piggyback off of Kelly, I teach improv acting and writing and stuff, and a lot of the students we have want to be, you know, the next person on SNL or something. But most just as many of them, we have attorneys and lawyers oftentimes join because they want to be better with public speaking or feel more comfortable with it. And we have other fields that join our classes. One of my students that I had, she's gone now, but I had her last semester. She was taking the class because she didn't feel comfortable talking to people because she was starting up a child caring business and she wanted to be more comfortable with parents, and she's great with kids, just wasn't as great with adults, and this was something that kept her from the child care industry. So she was doing a lot of odd jobs, working retail. Now with and this is taking place in Illinois, they have some bills that they have passed similar to Wisconsin's to, you know, provide more incentive and more help towards people that want to get into the childcare industry. She saw this and she's taking the ball and running with it. I don't know for certain, but I hope that she has got up and running a little childcare business now. And I have no doubt she'd be great at it. But to your point, the reason she went into that field was she wanted a career. She wanted something that was reliable. She wanted something, well, how do I know 20 years from now this industry's still going to be around? I'm pretty sure childcare is still going to be around in 20 years. Like, you looking at an industry, even, and my kids are in their mid-20s, and even I still worry about them having a career. This is something that, you know, you can recommend, that you can bring up, that should be brought up more. I don't know if it was the case when we were kids, that it was always a reliable industry, but I don't know that it feels like growing up, we had people in this industry. We were never for want of it. And it's just kind of happened now where we don't have as much as we used to. I think with a lot of these bills that are being passed now, we're going to be able to see more, hopefully, young blood into this industry.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I certainly hope so, right? Yeah, I think the demand is absolutely there.
I think there's a lot of people too, especially young people out there that are, you know, for everybody that knows I knew what I wanted to do when I was 7, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like one of 1,000. Not many people have that. For a lot of people, they're like, well, I have this skill set. I know I like this, this, and this, but I don't know where to go with it. Oftentimes, child caring is sitting right there under their nose and they don't even know. I think with a lot of these grants and a lot of this coming out, it's to be honest, the conversation is much more in the public eye now. There's going to be a lot more younger people, I would think, again, statistically, just by law of averages, wanted to get into childcare.
Yeah.
You're just hoping, right?
Right? Like, and I'm like you. I knew at a young age that I had, I don't know if I would call it a gift, but I certainly was super comfortable around kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be the person going to the family party and I'd be hanging in with the kids because that's where I felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. They make me laugh. They make me happy. And I think there are a lot of people out there that have, you know, that desire and maybe just aren't sure how do I move with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm not the one that wants to sit behind a computer. I really want to be with kids and be active.
And I imagine that a lot of the people that want to get into this industry, very similar to you with that, those feelings and the kind of person that they are and the way that they learn or collect information. And that's why these sessions are so vital and so really important and helpful. If you're on the fence or you just have questions, taking in this session, I think, could be very informative.
Yes, and if you're not able to make this session, mm-hmm. don't let the date scare you or not make you, give us a call, because mm-hmm. we're certainly able to talk through the information with you one-on-one if that date and time is not available for you.
Mm-hmm. And these startup grants are available. Just remind everybody about that and reach out to Child Caring to find out more about them or attend the session. We also know that most group child care centers are looking for staff right now. I wanted to touch on that a little bit with you.
Absolutely. I think that's where we're seeing the largest. So we know that we've had a decrease in the number of family child care programs, but we also know that our group child care centers are struggling with staffing. So if you're the person that maybe doesn't have quite the right home to offer something in your home, maybe you want to be with other people a little bit more and have more coworkers, there are definitely group child care programs in our area that need staff. They need teachers, they need assistant teachers. If you're not quite sure you're ready to lead a group of children, but maybe want to get started and have fun playing with kids, that would definitely be an opportunity as well.
You know, a lot of the people that I've talked to, again, going back to that P word, the pandemic, but since then, we saw during the pandemic and from that, a great migration go on. A lot of people going from jobs to careers, a lot of people going from a job to a passion. And the overall theme that I heard from people was, if I just could be blunt, I want my life to mean something. I want to leave this world better than I came into it. And so many people feel that way. And they're looking for an industry that's going to be rewarding, but also, you know, financially able to make a living and everything. That's childcare. It's right there for you. It's something that the lasting impact you make with one child, I can't even begin to imagine the impact you make with that, let alone if you're, working at a facility and multiple children and you work in the industry for many, many years, like Kelly or somebody. The amount of kids, the amount of lives you've impacted, you just yourself, Kelly, let alone your staff and other people out there listening that work in our great childcare facilities here in our local Wood County. That's an impact, man. That's something. And that's a career that every day, I'm not saying it's going to be easy or anything like that by any means. If you have a child, you know what this is like. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I got three of them, I know. But heck, my kids are in their 20s and it's still not easy. But that's the point. It's part of it. And nothing worth having is ever easy. Everything takes a little bit of grime, a little bit of work, and that's okay. And working in an industry like this, the reward that you get from that, there's no price tag you can put on something like that.
Absolutely. There's nothing more fun for me to go into a grocery store or be in an event somewhere and see some of these kids that I had in care. I won't tell you how many years ago because it's been a long time.
Sure,
but
sure.
Those kids are now having their own kids and being in childcare. But nothing more rewarding in the world, I think, to influence the minds of young lives, because what those kids are learning before they even turn the age of three lasts a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You're developing their brains. You're helping them to understand the importance of getting along with others and how to be, use their social emotional skills. And those are lifelong lasting impacts.
And a lot of people want things, maybe you want the world to be better. You want this to be better. You have to make it better. You can't just sit there and expect it to happen. You have to put into your community. You have to do certain things. And certainly we encourage people to get into this industry and to give this field a real chance and see how rewarding it can be. But before we wrap up, Kelly and I are going to touch on volunteering. And even if you already have a career, you can still impact child caring. You can still be a part of this industry by volunteering or just spreading the word about some of the things that Kelly and I are talking about today. I wanted to talk about you being a CCR in our agency. First off, Kelly, what does that mean, and how can that help the quality of childcare and people finding the good quality of childcare?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. CCRNR, Child Care Resource and Referral Agency. We've been around 30 plus years here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Our organization is one of nine covering all of the state of Wisconsin through CCRNR services. And what we do is we have a couple of different main programs that we offer. One being we help families find child care, so we give them resources and information about choosing a great quality child care for their children. We also support area child care programs, which again is through some of that startup programs information that we've talked about. We offer continuing education for providers, provide support and resources all along their journey in being a child care program. And then we're out in communities. You know, we talked about this advocacy piece. We are a part of, our staff are a part of a lot of different community groups, task forces, networking organizations that get out and really help to explain to people why we need good early child care, you know, quality child care, and how that impacts communities. And so child care resource and referrals support the workforce behind the workforce, we like to say, right?
Also, I think it's noteworthy where our conversation started, mentioning the interacting with senators, and that Child Caring Inc. is very much on the front lines of this topic and trying to get people's attention to the topic, including our representatives. And we appreciate that. We appreciate that. You've already got enough on your plate to be able to add that onto it is a lot, but we appreciate the work that you guys do in that. And that's certainly noteworthy as well. And being able to have a trusted source. I know what this is like. I think the majority of people out there do. You're a new parent, and there's so many things you're unsure of and questioning, and about yourself, let alone about your child and about parenting, let alone all of those other things. And to have a trusted resource to go to like, hey, I'm honestly unsure. Because there's another thing as a parent, reaching out, that can be difficult. It can be really hard to just ask for help or ask for questions. The Gang of Child Caring Inc., it could not be kinder or better about this and more working with you. There's nothing but positivity with them and wanting to help you and your child. Reaching out to them and knowing that not only you can trust that information, but that you can talk to them. Like, I know that might sound silly, but it can be tough as a young parent. It can be hard to be able to just ask questions and stuff. We're so worried about being judged by other parents. And that's too much of a thing in society. And that's a whole other topic. But Child Caring Inc. is not that. They're not there to judge you. They're there to help you.
Exactly. Mm. So we support people that need child care, but we also have other resources that support you in paying for child care, other child development issues. If we can't help you with that, we can definitely point you in the right direction to get the support that you need as a young parent. Or even a parent of older children.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kelly Burchard, Executive Director of Child Caring Inc. Kelly, the Good Start grants, what are those?
Good Start grants are funding that's available to families who need help paying for child care. So Good Start grants are primarily funded in our communities through United Way, which, of course, we're a great supporter of United Way. Mm-hmm. And it helps families pay the difference between what quality child care costs and what they can afford to pay. And so these grants pay a portion of the cost of child care for working families or families going back to school. And it complements the Wisconsin Shares Child Care Subsidy that's available through our state. Mm. And so if you just miss those cutoffs and are still struggling to pay, this is a program that can come in and help those families that just sort of fall through the cracks.
Yeah. It's something that our United Way does so great at. They are so good at covering bases that we often miss in society sometimes. And a big shout out to our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And I'm not just saying that because Terry's basically my big sister. She deserves it. They deserve it. They got a great team over there. I think, too, one of the things that I've learned from this community, when we see the United Way support something, it brings not only attention to it, but I think, this is serious, or, maybe I need to take this topic more seriously kind of thing. So it goes a lot farther than I think we can word sometimes. It's very appreciated, and it adds to the benefit of our community. Like many things United Way does and Child Caring Inc. is a part of, this is a helping hand up, not anything else. It's supposed to be able to get people on their feet. It's supposed to be able to get people, look, we get the kid in good child caring, that adult can go work. That adult is working in our community. They are able to pay taxes. This all adds up. I always like to make sure that we're trying to cover as much as we can with these topics. And with childcare, it could be something that we've learned in years past, like, well, my kids are out of school, or I don't have kids. Why should I care? Well, you pay taxes, don't you? Yeah, you should care. You are a part of the society, right? You should care. You're going to be a part of the future, Archer. We're hoping you are. You're going to want these kids to have the best childhoods they can have so that they are great when they are in the future. Future you is going to appreciate caring about child caring. This adds up. It touches on everything.
Absolutely, right? Like we need good roads, we need good health care. All these are potential futures for young children, for sure.
Kelly, as we're wrapping up, I did want to touch on anything we haven't covered that you wanted to. Is there anything you wanted to get to? Feel like we covered almost everything. It's such a big topic that sometimes it's like, wait a minute, I had to have missed something. But as long as we have a second, I would like to talk about you attended Synergy's Central Wisconsin Days. This was just a couple of days ago that you advocated for childcare. You were touching on this a little bit. I wanted to make sure we covered a lot of the topics you had today. As long as we have a little time, how did that go, and how did you feel you were received?
Yeah, I think it was an excellent opportunity to be among people that aren't the usual suspects about talking about childcare, right? There were a lot of technical college staff, business people, other community organizations that came together to advocate. One of the topics, of course, is housing and transportation, rural bridges, but of course the one that I honed in on especially was around childcare and being able to support some of the bills that are being proposed around employers and allowing them tax credits for supporting their employees' childcare. Because I think it's going to take some public-private partnerships and communities coming together to really help solve the crisis that we're facing here. Of course, not every legislator agrees about how to do that. Not everybody wants to simply subsidize or provide funding to child care providers, but I feel like we can all agree that public-private partnerships and bringing business into this conversation is a really, really good idea. And so that's, we were very well received at the Capitol around those issues.
It's really good to hear, especially with how important this topic is and how, as we've touched on, this this topic affects everybody. And I know that in talking to some of the same representatives you and your team have talked to, this can be one of those ones where some feel some way and some feel another way about it. I do think that it's noteworthy to, for those that don't know, our government used to pay for childcare. Like back in way, way back in the day, we used to cover this kind of topic. It used to be a thing that that was understood. Hey, this is something that's very important to our society. We need to make sure that this is that all bases are covered on this topic. It's not far-fetched to imagine the government having a bit of involved passing bills or doing certain things to help this industry. It wouldn't be the first time the U.S. government has done that. I think that is important to this topic. And it's also noteworthy that, because I know that sometimes you hear, oh, well, the government doesn't want to get involved in your children, doesn't want to tell you what to do with your kids or something. That's not this. That is not what's going on here. We're asking for help with this because our society needs it, not an individual child. Children need it, plural. You know, this is that big of a topic where it's affecting that much of our society.
Right. I think there are other industries and sectors that we haven't hesitated to help out.
Yes.
Our great farmers is one really great example.
In my lifetime, we've bailed out the banks at least twice. You know, this is an industry that's certainly just as vital, if not more important than that industry. So, yeah, I think that this is something that wherever you feel about this, if you're a representative of a community as a politician, you have to care about this topic. If you want to stay in office, that is, if you want to keep doing your job, because I've made this very clear, and this is just me speaking, not Kelly, not anybody else. I when I talk to our representatives on air, off air, I'll tell them exactly what I'm hearing from communities. Get the job done or we will replace you. That's that. So if you want to keep doing this, then listen to your community. That's your job. And the community has spoken. We care about this topic. We want assistance with this. And I think most politicians, as we've seen with some of the bills passed and some of the things we've talked about, we are seeing more traction on this front. Hopefully. I keep trying to spin this for myself as much as for you anyway, Kelly, because I am a little worried about it. And I can't imagine, and I'm outside the industry. I can't imagine for you and yours how you guys feel about this. It's important. And not only do we appreciate the time from you and the work that you do, not even just talking to us today, but being there at the Capitol and that, but this community. I believe that this community supports this subject and is really appreciative of the work that you guys are doing. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about something, what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
They should give our office a call. We're in the office every day from 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday, 800-628-8534. Visit our website, www.childcaring.org. Find us on Facebook, LinkedIn. Those are some of our social media platforms. We'd be happy to talk with you, and we'd greatly appreciate the opportunity.
It's so easy to get in touch with you guys. The website is a great way to do that. The phone, whatever you got to do, get in touch with our friends at Child Caring Inc. And Kelly, thanks again so much for what you do and the time. Say hi to the staff for us.
Yeah, thanks so much, James.
Thank you to everybody out there for listening. We appreciate you. And a big thank you to Pam Hilke, our great scheduler here. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM Locally Grown Radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Lovell, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. CBS.